when you have people like Dick Gregory, you know, the wonderful black comedian. Mm-hmm. He just received his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame last year, and the first thing he said was, you know, I credit Hugh Hefner for breaking the color barrier and helping me get this.
Yes.
You know, all these years later, you know, he still mentioned Hugh Hefner in the first line.
Patty, I love you mentioned that your experience prowling in the Playboy Mansion halls. What exactly was that like for you when you were prowling in the hallways?
It was an honor for me. And I can't tell you how happy I was about a year into mm-hmm. writing the book. I received a phone call and, you know, just picked up the phone and this gentleman introduced himself. He said, you know, I'm Steve Martinez, and Mr. Hefner asked me to call and offer the use of his personal archives to you. And I was speechless,
yes.
You know, because that is just like opening a vault. And it did take me a year, because you can't just call the Playboy organization, say I'm writing a book, and have them say, great, come on over. That happens on a daily basis, I was told, that somebody's writing an article or writing something, and, you know, they really just want to come over and see what the mansion's like. So after a year, and they knew my reputation and knew my writing and had checked me out, they felt comfortable, and they opened the archive to me.
Mm-hmm.
And to answer your question, going to the mansion, it is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've heard that it's for sale now. They've
yes.
put it up for sale. But it's one of the most beautiful mansions, buildings, and it's a historic building. It has quite a pedigree. And to go in, there are original works of art, you know, Picasso's on the wall. Hef really is a lover of beauty in all forms, you know, mm-hmm. the art form, a music form, human form. So it was a treat to do that. And then to go into the archives was... Mm. Amazing. And I think going back to one of your previous questions, even though Hef is a humble man, I think he always knew he would make an impact, because he saved everything possible from the time he was a child. He has cartoons that he drew in grade school, and photographs and letters that he wrote. So those archives had all of that. And, of course, it was the later years that blew me away. You know, letters back and forth between him and Ian Fleming. Because in Playboy, they ran, I think it was 7 of Ian Fleming's short stories before they were made into the James Bond movies that we all know and love. So it was after they ran in Playboy that Hollywood became interested, or I guess it was, you know, London Studios made them into the James Bond movie. And then to read the letters, just the friendship back and forth between him and Ian Fleming, it gave me goosebumps.
That is interesting that he saved everything. It's like maybe he had a premonition that he was going to change the world somehow.
I think, you know, it reminds me of Barbara Streisand a little bit. You know, she knew from the time she was, you know, old enough to walk, she controlled what photographs were taken of her because she knew she was going to be famous
mm-hmm.
and didn't want a bad picture out there.
One of the things you mentioned, Marilyn Monroe, of course, she was on the first cover. And I was curious about this. He bought a plot next to her. Does he still have this?
Does.
Yeah.
And I asked, and I really never got a straight answer, if he really intended, now that he's married again, mm-hmm. to be buried there, or if he might have modified his plan. But he still does have it. You know, he, like many people of that generation, just was in love with Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
He thought she was beautiful and sexy, and profiled her quite a few times at different points in his magazine.
What are some of your personal favorite stories in putting together this book, Playboy Swings? Maybe a few, or one or two. I know, crazy question, but I'm curious.
Chris, you're asking me to pick among the kids. Who's your favorite child?
Right.
They were all wonderful, but I loved spending time with Eleni Kazan.
Mm-hmm.
And she was such a big part of Playboy. She ran one of the rooms in California. And it's really too big a story to go into, but I do devote a whole chapter to her in my book. And just so many adventures, you know, adventures with the mob. And a very young David Benoit starting out playing in the club, and Trini Lopez, and just, I mean, a myriad of wonderful stories and accomplishments, and the fact that Lainey was a woman, a strong woman, and I loved Lainey's stories, but also Al Jarreau, you know, who doesn't love hearing how people started out, and this is way before, you know, he was the multiple Grammy winner that we all know and love, and he was discovered, you know, quote-unquote discovered at the Playboy Club, but that's when Johnny Carson caught his act, he and Julio Martinez, and asked them to be on the Johnny Carson show, which was a great coup, and they had set a date, and Julio said, you know, I haven't seen my wife in a couple weeks, we're not scheduled to be on Johnny Carson for a few weeks, so I'm going to run back to California, spend the weekend with my wife, and then I'll fly back to New York. And that's what he did. He flew to California, and Johnny Carson had an opening, so they called their agent like that morning and said, you know what? We have an opening. We want you and Julio tonight. And Julio was in California, so Al Jarreau had to go on Johnny Carson alone, and the rest is history.
Right.
You know, it was really unfortunate for Julio because he watched it on TV.
Yes.
But they're still friends today, great friends today. And it was just really cool hearing how these people got their start. I love that.